We're 4 days into the early voting period now. 7,858 Orange County residents have already cast their ballots. That is about 3,000 behind the total at this time 4 years ago, though there was an extra day on the early voting period in 2018. That accounts for much of the difference. Early voting continues this week at 6 locations in Orange County: the Chapel Hill Public Library, the Seymour Center on Homestead Road, Chapel of the Cross on Franklin Street downtown, the Carrboro Town Hall Complex, Orange Works at Hillsboro Commons, that's on Mayo Street in Hillsboro, and the Eflin Raritan Club. Here on 97.9 The Hill, we're introducing you to the candidates who are on your ballot this fall, including the candidates for U.S. House District 4, where longtime Congressman David Price is retiring after more than three decades on the job. Here now, in their own words, are the two candidates for U.S. House, Democrat Valerie Fouché and Republican Courtney Giles.
My name is Valerie Fouché, and I am running for the U.S. House of Representatives in District 4. I believe that to whom much is given, much is required, and I have been given so much by this community that I feel like I should continue to serve. I have served at both the local and state level, and so when Congressman Price made his announcement about retirement, many of my supporters asked me if I would consider continuing my service at the congressional level. And after much prayer and consultation with supporters, my pastor, and my family, we decided that we would seek the opportunity to continue the service. I have so many connections in this district. I have three siblings in three of the counties. I have friends and relatives in the other three, and so it just seemed like an opportunity to bring that experience to serve at a different level. Let's start with protecting our democracy and voting rights. I think the January 6th insurrection showed us just how fragile our democracy is, and we know that that democracy hinges on our right to vote. It is my belief that we should be doing everything we can to ensure that every eligible voter has the opportunity to do so without fear or intimidation, that we should be expanding opportunities to vote rather than to be placing barriers that would deter the desire for some of our folk to exercise that right. And then I would say women's reproductive freedom is certainly at the top of the list. It is a priority for many of us. And what happened with the Dobbs decision was that we learned that rights and freedoms that we have enjoyed over a period of time can be taken away. I think that the very first thing that I would like to work on after voting rights is to codify the Roe v. Wade decision, so that women will have the right again to make decisions about their future and their health without governmental interference. You know, there is only one thing for sure that we can control, and that's our own bodies. And to have that taken away is a clear disservice to women. And then last but certainly not least, if I can only name three, is our environment. I believe that we have an obligation to protect and preserve our environment for generations to come. I am happy that the Inflation Reduction Act provides funding for producing clean energy and manufacturing here in this country, and that it will provide funding to ensure we can reduce our carbon emissions somewhere roughly around 40% between now and 2030. Again, the Inflation Reduction Act is going to help with inflation, by reducing medical costs, by protecting our environment, and so many other things that, you know, it's a proud moment that that was a bipartisan decision. When voters see my name on the ballot, I want them to think of me as a dedicated, experienced, homegrown servant leader who has a deep love for people and community.
My name is Courtney Giles, and I'm running for the United States House of Representatives in North Carolina District 4. I'm running because I've seen this consistent trend in our government that I was really seeing in my own job. My background is nursing. I've been an emergency room nurse mostly. And for about 10 years, I've just seen a trend where hospital administrators, specifically the CEO, CMO, CNO level, are much more data and money driven than they are driven by the quality product, and that would be patients' lives and quality health care. My goal really in running is to decrease the power of the federal government and specifically to stop executive orders from the executive branch. It's not about who's in the presidency, because we saw this under Donald Trump. We see this under Joe Biden. We saw this in previous presidencies before that. But we see this dramatic roller coaster effect it has on the country when you have different people in power, because they'll put out all of these executive orders that really changes directly our lives a lot of the time. And specifically last summer, I felt like there was a federal government decision that affected my family's life, and I really couldn't do anything to support them. I couldn't advocate for them. I couldn't hire an attorney. And so since there was a federal problem, I really wanted to run for a federal level. So yes, I'm going from being a nurse to running for the United States Congress. It really is very similar to how nursing is. You're getting to know people, you're assessing people, you're building a relationship pretty quickly, and then you're advocating for what they need. And so as a representative, I want to be for the people. I want to meet everyone, no matter their political affiliation, no matter their religious affiliation. I want people to feel like they have someone they can come to at the federal level and really advocate for what they need and make sure really everyone has the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness in my district and really in our country. Some of my top policy issues are going to be related to education, the economy, and quality medical care, which I've already talked a lot about. But specifically in the economy, I think that's the number one issue when you look at polling. Everyone is being affected by gas prices, by grocery prices, by pretty much any sort of thing that you can consume. It's almost doubled in price in the past couple of years. And we see now interest rates going up a lot with real estate. So we're getting into a market where people can't purchase a house. And so making sure we're prioritizing having a budget and balancing that budget. And we're going to have to work across the aisle. If I win, there's still a Democrat who is in the presidency. So I'm going to have to work with Democrat colleagues. And I'm excited to do that. I'm excited to actually have real conversation and talk about how we can advocate for people and make sure that we're helping their 401k, make sure we're decreasing their gas prices. These are all things that are very tangible problems that everyone is feeling right now. And I'd really like to focus on education as much as I can. I'd really like to see parents have a choice in their children's education. And the federal government, you know, if we look at the actual dollar amount that we're spending on education, it's a lot, but percentage-wise, it's not a lot coming from the federal government. And a lot of it's in subsidies for, say, free school lunches, which I love that. But sometimes we see, again, this power grabbing wherever whoever's in the presidency, they tie a lot of strings to the money that is coming to the states. And so I always want to make sure it comes as close to the people level as far as power as we can. I want to advocate for teachers. I want to advocate for students, and I want to advocate for parents. And I think if we create really a parent's choice and a free market in education, we're going to see really where that money follows the child. And I'd like to encourage that on the state level as well as I can legislatively. The final thing would be quality health care, which we could probably talk about health care for 3 hours. I hear on both sides of the aisle, I hear Republicans and Democrats talk a lot about the price of health care. So I think, you know, playing the federal money game, which I don't love, but I think it's public money that's paying for a lot of health care, that anyone who's receiving federal money, i.e. Medicaid, Medicare, VA benefits, needs to have transparency in pricing. So if they're taking that money, they need to have some kind of menu online where people can go and see how much they're charging for these things. It's going to create more competition between hospital systems, and it will drive down the cost. I've been demonizing the pharmaceutical industry like everybody else has, but I realize it's not just the pharmaceutical industry that is driving up pharmaceutical costs. It's actually a middleman called PBMs that a lot of times are located overseas, not paying taxes. I would like to figure out how we can decrease regulation to where we can see the people, again, being able to pay that direct to consumer price rather than having those prices jacked up on them. And that harms everybody. And it goes back to our first thing of the economy. So there's a lot of things that I'd like to work on. I'd like to reform Medicaid and Medicare to make sure that everyone is having quality health care, that our elderly are taken care of. We need acute, we need chronic, we need preventative care for mental health. And I think that that's a safety and security issue that can be attacked by the federal government. And I say attacked in a good way. And so those are really the policies that I really want to focus on. But when voters see my name on the ballot, I really want them to think that Courtney Gills is a nurse. She's not a career politician. And she's going into this because she felt like she didn't have a voice in the federal government. And she doesn't want anybody else to ever feel that way and to feel like they have an advocate in Washington that will stand up for what they need.
That's Courtney Gill speaking there. Valerie Fushi, before that, the two candidates for U.S. House District 4. And visit our website, chapelboro.com, and hit the Elections tab for more info about the election, including early voting details and introductions to all the local candidates. It's time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Rosewood Wealth Management. Carolina football is up one spot in the rankings this week, now number 21 in the AP and coaches polls heading into Saturday's matchup with Pitt. Football team was off this past weekend, but it was still a busy time for UNC sports. Top-ranked Tar Heel field hockey got a pair of wins, 3-1 over number 7 Virginia and 6-0 over 9th-ranked St. Joseph's. Freshman Riley Heck had a hat trick in the St. Joseph's game. That was her second in the last 2 weeks. UNC volleyball also got a pair of wins, both on the road against NC State and Duke. UNC men's and women's swimming and diving teams swept a meet at UNC Wilmington on Friday, winning 29 out of 32 total events. Also in Wilmington, the Tar Heel men's golf team beat 9 other teams to win the Williams Cup, named after Roy Williams. That was their third straight tournament win, first time that's happened in 38 seasons. And in Florida, the second-ranked Tar Heel women's soccer team rolled over Miami on Sunday 4-0. Only one team came up without a win. UNC men's soccer fought Boston College to a 1-1 tie. They're back in action tomorrow at 6 on the road at William & Mary. In scheduling news, the UNC wrestling team is heading to Fort Bragg next month for a tournament on Veterans Day hosted by Campbell University. The Battle of Fort Bragg was announced during a UFC event over the weekend. Michigan will also be competing there that day, and then the Tar Heels and Wolverines will meet again in Chapel Hill on Monday the 13th in an outdoor meet at Boshammer Stadium. Finally, in hockey, the Carolina Hurricanes fell to Calgary 3-2 in overtime on Saturday. Canes are at Vancouver tonight, starting at 10:30. Continuing now with more local news. First of all, crime news. UNC police are investigating a reported sexual assault that happened Saturday afternoon at Carmichael Residence Hall. A man allegedly followed a student into the building and assaulted them in their room. Contact UNC police if you have any info on that. Meanwhile, Hillsborough police have made an arrest in a fatal overdose case from back in May. 36-year-old Walter Wren of Eflin was arrested on Friday on charges of felony death by distribution for allegedly selling opioids to a 35-year-old woman who later died of an overdose. Wren was already in the Orange County Detention Center on unrelated charges when the arrest was made. State-level news, a slight uptick in North Carolina's unemployment rate last month from 3.5% up to 3.6%. That's still historically low. The state was down to 3.4% back in July, and that was the lowest North Carolina had seen in over 20 years. Back locally, several government board meetings tonight. Pittsburgh Town Commissioners at 5 p.m., the Orange County School Board at 6, and Durham County Commissioners at 7. You can get the agendas for all of those meetings on our website, chapelborough.com. The Carrboro Town Council is off this week, but council members met earlier this month to tackle a serious dilemma. The town is running out of space in its municipal cemeteries. 97.9 The Hill's Madison Ward with more on that.
The town of Carrboro manages two cemeteries, the Old Carrboro Cemetery and the Westwood Cemetery. According to Capital Projects Manager Ben Schmedeek, there has been a demand for plots over the past 30 years, which has led to an increase in plot sales over the past 5 years. 20% of sold plots in Carrboro are currently unoccupied because cemetery plots often get sold in groups of families. Schmedeek attributed this partially to Chapel Hill running out of their own burial space, further putting pressure on the demand for plot space in Carrboro. The Old Carrboro Cemetery was established in 1910 and is located directly off of the Libba Cotton Greenway. Schmedeek said the cemetery includes 170 unobstructed plots. One way this cemetery is set apart from others is the use of green burials, which are more environmentally friendly but take up more space than traditional burials.
About half of the plots sold at the Old Carrboro Cemetery since 2018 were for green burials, in general becoming an increasing trend.
That leaves zero availability for burials in the Old Carrboro Cemetery. Meanwhile, the Westwood Cemetery, located at the corner of Davie Road and Fidelity Street in Carrboro, only has 100 available plots in zones 1 through 3. Schmedeek said because of this, the town of Carrboro is forecasted to sell out of space for plots by 2024. Schmedeek also asked the town council to consider continuing development of the Westwood Cemetery, which has a fourth zone that is unused. He said development options for the space include adding walking paths, a reflection garden, benches, a columbarium for cremains, and more space for burials. Town council members discussed Schmedeek's proposals and shared their thoughts on whether to continue development of the Westwood Cemetery. Town Council Member Barbara Fusci said she disagreed with some of the proposals, which could create unnecessary traffic to the site. Fusci added she believes recreational amenities that align with the current use of the cemeteries would be preferred.
When I think about a cemetery, I think about a quiet place for reflection, a place that is not busy, unless there's a gravesite service, a burial, or oftentimes there's people coming back out to reflect. I don't see a park and a cemetery being compatible, but what I do see, if the council decides that expansion is what we want to do, I see an opportunity for integration.
Council member Eleazar Posada said he was conflicted about continuing expansion of Carborough cemeteries.
I don't know that I want Carborough to continue to be in the business after we're done with this plot. But at the same time, I see the affordability of the town being the one who does it. So I'm still very conflicted on that question. But I'm looking at, should for whatever reason the town or we decide not to zone plot 4 for cemetery purposes and we use it for something much more needed.
Council member Randy Haven O'Donnell added they don't believe the plot issue is as simple as an immediate decision on whether to explore other parcels of property.
100 plots are not going to last that long, and our population is only growing, and there are people who have been here not only their whole lives, but people who are first moving here who intend to be here the rest of their lives and may want to have this service. But I think the first thing is to really grapple with this question of who is it that actually, in fact, you know, needs a municipal cemetery, because we never really have talked about that.
The council ultimately voted to continue plans to improve existing cemeteries, repair fences, and add benches. The council did not determine plans to develop Zone 4 of Westwood Cemetery, although it plans to host another work session to discuss the issue. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Madison Ward.
And finally, happy trails to Doug Dibbard, who's led UNC's General Alumni Association for more than 40 years. Earlier this month, he announced plans to step down from that position after decades on the job. Date of his retirement, though, still to be determined. And visit our website, chapelboro.com, for more local news, including a piece from the Chatham News and Record on Pittsburgh's ongoing effort to update its 10-year-old land use plan.